Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where you can expect cutting-edge information and strategies relating to success mindset, leadership, wealth creation, and relationships, all based in universal law and David Nagel's own experience as he rose from minimum wage forklift driver to multi-million dollar business owner. So, let's go.
Hello, hello everyone. This is David Nagel and I'd like to welcome you to the Successful Mind Podcast. Today, the topic is intentional improvement versus self-improvement. So this is something that I've wanted to talk about for a long time, and I think that you're going to find it pretty interesting, and it may even help you make a significant shift in your mindset, which is one of the things that we really love. So I'm part of what's known as the self-improvement industry, the professional development industry, and it's an industry, it's a fantastic industry to be part of. I am so proud that that is where my gift in life is. That is where my soul belongs in living this, in teaching it, and even dealing with the challenges that come through it in order to be able to do it. Because in order for me to be able to be a teacher, a mentor, a coach, a business owner in this industry, I have to be willing to go through all of the self-development, all of the challenges that go with that, and have been going through that all of my life. So what does it do? It gives me a great insight into change, into what it's like for a person to consciously go through change, and even unconsciously go through change, because I started off going through it unconsciously. And then really delving into the study, the deep amount of study and learning and, you know, my goodness, everything that goes with that. Because I think that when you really think about everything that goes into that, it's astounding from the aspect of the commitment, from the level of the individual that actually wants to come out on the other side bettering themselves. Now, the topic or the title of this podcast is intentional improvement versus self-improvement. I am working on changing the name of what I would consider the industry I'm into, intentional improvement versus self-improvement. And here is the reason why. Number one, over the years, you know, I mean, if you think about how long the self-improvement industry has been around, it's a little over 100 years at this point. And over the years, it has got a lot of negative connotations that have gone with it. Whether you're talking about professional development, business development, self-improvement, self-development, whatever it is that you want to call it, those names have all kinds of connotations that go with it, just because of the people that have been involved in it, the way that it's been done, both good and bad, the results that people have gotten, both good and bad, over the years, the amount of time and investment and money that people spend in it. There's almost this idea that there's something wrong with us to begin with. And I would like to kind of put that to rest. There's nothing wrong with human beings. What we suffer from is something called ignorance. It is really the thing that causes all the problems that we see or have or experience as problems throughout the entire world, and that we're always working at changing from one level to another. Here's what I mean by that. The a lot of change is coming through governments, politicians, religions, different kinds of organizations, whether it's at the local level or the federal level or multiple countries coming together, getting together, trying to change things. It comes from so many different directions because there are so many different problems that we're having. And one of my purposes in life is to be a part of a movement that helps eradicate those problems. But in order to eradicate those problems, we have to understand what the main cause of those problems are or is, and that is ignorance. There really is no other problem because the universe operates in a very orderly way. We call that by law. And when we understand the laws of the universe, we get to the point where we can start applying those laws to our life. As we apply those laws to our life intentionally, because we're doing intentionally because we want to change something, we see massive change happen starting off on a personal level within the individual's life. So we recognize a problem. We search for information. That information is leading us to a solution of some sorts. We then apply that into our life. The first place that we start to see change is on the psychological, the thinking or the reasoning level. So we begin to think different. As we think different, we begin to learn how to control the emotional state that we're in. As we learn how to control the emotional state we're in, we learn how to control our actions. Our actions are a cause set in motion, which means that it is literally affecting our behavior or how we show up in life as people. And then that comes back to us as a result. So every cause that is going out from us literally comes back to us because energy always returns to its source of origination. So whatever we're thinking, feeling, acting, behaving, doing is a cause set in motion. It's an expenditure out from us that is then returned to us. And as it's returned to us, we experience that return as the results that we're getting. We experience it as the circumstances that we find ourselves involved with in our life. It is our environment that we create. And here's a little interesting thing about our environment. Human beings are the only form of life that come into this world totally dissociated from their environment. In other words, we're not really in harmony with our environment. Every other form of life is born into an environment that it'll basically be born into, live in, and then die in, okay? And the other thing that's fascinating about that is that it has all the information that it's ever going to need for it to be able to live and survive and thrive within that environment. Human beings are not like that. So I believe one of the reasons that we're not like that is because we have the godlike faculty, the creative faculty, which shows up in our ability to imagine, which is one of our higher faculties, our imagination. It's the creative side of us, so that we can create whatever environment that we want to be in. Human beings are also the only form of life that lives all over the world in all of the different climates and situations that the world presents us. We've even learned how to live outside of this world. We've gone into space for extended periods of time. We've gone to the moon. We're looking at going to other planets in the not-so-distant future. And we're able to adapt to these environments because we have this amazing intellect that has the ability to receive information from the universe. Then we can use our imagination to put that information in order, right? So we can put it in order that allows us to then complete whatever we're imagining in the reality of our life. So what am I saying here? I'm going to do this in a non-complicated way. Everything that we see that has been formed or fashioned or invented by human beings was first an image in the human being's mind. But before it became an image, where did that information exist? It existed in the universe. And all the information, all the knowledge that ever was or ever will be is 100% present in all places at the same time. It's omnipresent. It's omniscient. And as we engage our imagination, we are literally, through the law of vibration, we're harmonizing ourselves with an idea. And as we harmonize ourselves with that idea, we are then downloading that information into our mind. And then if we take action based on that information, we create a new reality based on whatever that information is. So, I mean, when you think about that, it makes us incredible creatures, incredible forms of life. There really is not a whole lot wrong with that. The problem comes into difficulty in the individual's life or in people's lives or people that inhabit countries or however you want to look at that, the entire world, is when the human being is living by ignorance. In other words, what we don't know that we don't know. If we were ignorant, there's a lot of things that we're ignorant to and that we'll always be ignorant to. In other words, every person can only focus on and learn so much in a lifetime. I know a tremendous amount about what I do in the industry that I'm a part of. But I also understand that there is a tremendous amount of information out there that I have no clue. I'm totally ignorant about. And that allows me to thrive and help people and live my purpose and share my gift in what I do. And it also allows me to have to rely on other individuals for things that I know nothing about, but are essential pieces of my life, or they're essential pieces of my business. So what I do is that I'm able to benefit the lives of other people by bringing them in so that they can share their expertise with me in things that I need done so that my message can get out there to the entire world. In order for me to be able to do this podcast, I can't imagine how many people have had to come together with their expertise in order to make this something that's feasible so that when we post it, it literally goes to people in every area on the planet that has the ability to open up their computer or their smartphone and be able to listen to the podcast. All the information that had to be downloaded from the universe into somebody's mind to be able to create the computers and the transmitters and who knows what in order for this to be able to happen, right? And when we're doing these things, when we are living in the power of our creation, we're doing that intentionally. We're intentionally working on changing our lives for the better. And we're intentionally working on living our purpose and sharing our gifts so that other people can do the same thing. So I think that we should call it intentional improvement versus self-improvement, because everything that once we start to wake up to the idea of our godlike faculties, then everything from that point on becomes intentional. If I want to get in better health, if I want to lose weight, if I want to grow my business, if I want to help another human being, it's an intentional thought. And then I take that intentional thought and I intend on an outcome with that thought. And then I follow the laws of the universe based on my understanding of them so that that intended outcome can become a reality for another person's life, including my own. And the idea here is that I'm going to give you some tips today that will allow you to intentionally do a few things that I really believe will have a dramatic impact upon your life, and allow you to change things in a very short period of time. Okay? So one of the first things here, and I'm going to give you some information from one of my favorite authors, excuse me. His name is Neville Goddard, okay? The book that I'm sharing this with you from is called The Power of Awareness. It is an absolutely fantastic book. You should pick it up and read it. Here's what he says in this book that I think is so fascinating. He says, each day, set yourself the task of deliberately withdrawing your attention from the objective world and of focusing it subjectively. In other words, concentrate those thoughts or moods which you deliberately determine. Then, those things that now restrict you will fade and drop away. The day you achieve control of the movements of your attention is in the subjective world, you're a master of your fate, okay? So he's really talking about becoming aware of, number one, becoming aware of our higher faculties. So let me just share what our higher faculties are, and then I'll go over our higher faculties. I'll do an entire podcast or two or three actually on these so that you can understand them more. Of course, if you come to any of our larger events, I go through our higher faculties at those also. It's also something that I teach people how to use in our coaching as it applies to them and their specific needs, okay? So our higher faculties are this: intuition, will, memory, reason, and imagination, okay? So he's talking here about using our higher faculty of reason, which is our ability to think, and our higher faculty of imagination, and will, which is focus. So most people misunderstand will, and when they think about the higher faculty or the intellectual faculty of will, they're actually thinking of force. And it is not force, it is focus. That's what it is, focus. Our ability, basically the success that we're going to achieve in our life, in any area of our life, is really partially determined by our ability to focus on that specific thing for an extended period of time. And as we're able to focus on that, we're able to follow the perpetual law of transmutation of energy and bring it from an idea that is out there in the ether or the universe, bring it into our reasoning ability where we can think, take our imagination and form it into something that we would call a concept or a theory, and then take action on it and bring it into our life as our results, our reality, our circumstances, or our environment. He goes on to say this: you will no longer accept the dominance of outside conditions or circumstances. Now, I want you to think about that. You will no longer accept the dominance of outside conditions or circumstances. Most people are running around in their life believing that our outside conditions and circumstances basically have control over our life. That's why he's using the word dominance, because it can literally is like the dominating factor in how we live, what we do, who we hang around, how much money we make or don't make, It's almost like we believe, not almost, it is, that we believe that the outside conditions and circumstances have a power all of their own that control our life, and they don't. We're the ones that have the control because we've been given the ability to choose, okay? That is a higher faculty, our ability to choose. J. Martin Coey wrote a little book called Your Greatest Power, and it's all about your ability to choose. It literally is our greatest power because every decision that we make comes from our ability to choose. Every image that we hold in our mind comes from our ability to choose. Whether we're grateful for something or we are resentful for something comes from our ability to choose. How much money we make or we don't make comes from our ability to choose. Whether we have an amazing relationship with our partner or our lover or our spouse or our friends comes from our ability to choose. So it is our greatest power, right? James Allen basically said that our thoughts bring us 1,000 joys or 1,000 ills, and it's based on our ability to choose. Neville goes on to say, you will not accept life on the basis of the world without it. Having achieved control of the movements of your attention and having discovered the mystery hid from the ages, he said, that Christ in you is your imagination. You will assert the supremacy of imagination and put all things in subjection to it. So for those of you that are not Christian or don't believe in Christ or whatever, don't get hung up on that. Again, Neville is one of those authors that comes from a Christian background. You'll see as you familiarize yourself with me that I basically use information from all the major religions around the world. So just don't get hung up on it. That's all I want to say. Just don't let that block you if that's not something that you believe in as far as a person or a God or something like that. Think about it as the power of the living power of the universe, okay? Wallace Wattles pointed out in The Science of Getting Rich that the modus operandi of God or the universe is more life, that everything is constantly moving in the direction of more life. And the way that we choose to show up in this world with the choices that we make, through the correct use of our imagination. In other words, the correct use meaning that we're going to put it into an organized fashion and we're not going to allow any outside circumstances to determine or to suggest to us that we cannot create the life that we want is completely ludicrous because we absolutely can. We're going to now move to a place where we're not going to tolerate it anymore. So this is about intentional improvement. I am going to intend for the betterment of my life, and I am going to do very specific things in order to intend that to happen. Now, I'm going to give you an exercise that if you follow it, will make an absolutely amazing difference in your life. And I'm also going to give you a book to read that if you want to learn more about this exercise, I suggest that you get the book. Now, this is not my exercise, although I have done exercises similar to this that I've created for myself over the years. This is Melody Beattie's exercise. That's M-E-L-O-D-Y. Last name Beattie, B-E-A-T-T-I-E. She wrote a little book called Make Miracles in 40 Days. And the essence behind this book is that we're grateful or thankful for every single thing that's in our life. Now, here's the thing about this that makes this so magical, if you will. And I use magical in a good term, not in a mystical term where, like, there's no cause and effect, because magic is really based on cause and effect. And so are miracles, by the way, right? So the idea here is that we're grateful or thankful for every single thing in our life. It's easy to do that if things are going well, right? If things are going really good in our life, then yeah, you know, it's easy for us to be grateful or thankful. But how do we actually create a miracle? How do we change a situation that we don't necessarily like in our life into something that is something that we do like? So maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe it's lack of money that we have in our life. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe we've lost someone close to us, and we're grieving. We went through a divorce, or someone passed away in your life, or someone moved away, someone left you. Whatever it might be, think about the number of different kinds of loss that we can experience is literally in the thousands when you get right down to it. And loss can create a tremendous amount of pain in a person's life. We're seeing that with so many people these days that just don't know how to deal with it. And what ends up happening is they go to a doctor, and a doctor prescribes them some kind of drug to take in order to mask the pain. So before I get into the teaching of this, which is going to be really simple, it's a real simple exercise for you to do, but the effect will be profound. I just want to say that I am not a doctor, I am not a psychiatrist, I'm not an MD. If you have a physical problem, or you think that you have a mental illness, or that you need help or medication, please go see a doctor first before doing this exercise. So I just want to get that out of the way, okay? Now, for the rest of us, for everybody else, and even after you go see the doctor, the idea here is that how do we create miracles in our life? How do we become miracle-minded, okay? And the idea number one is that we come from this idea where we're going to get rid of the idea of self-improvement. We are perfect just as we are. We're absolutely perfect. We can create a life that is of our choosing, that is absolutely amazing, that is absolutely beautiful, if we come from the idea of intentional improvement. So how do we improve intentionally? The first way that we do that is that we come from a place of gratitude for everything in our life. Now, when I say everything, what I'm really focused on, based on the idea of this podcast, is things that are not going well in our life, especially negative emotions, ways that we don't feel good about ourselves, ways that we don't feel good about others, ways that we don't feel good about things that are happening in our life. So what you're going to do is very simple. Number one, you're going to write down, and this is straight from Melody's book. She gives permission in the book to teach this to anybody that you wanna teach it to. So I'm teaching it to you. I suggest that you get the book, and then after you go through this process for 40 days, go teach it to someone else, and you'll be really happy you did. You'll bless somebody else's life. So the first thing that we want to do is that we want to imagine what would it be like if we had a magic wand in our hand, and we could literally change anything in our life we wanted to change. So you're going to take out a sheet of paper, or you're going to get on your computer and you're going to write out what would that be. I don't want you to focus on spelling. I don't want you to focus on grammar. I want you to focus on emotion. What would it be like if you could change anything in your life? And just make a list of all the things that you would want to change or create in your life going forward. So it would be changing anything from the past or changing anything moving forward, going forward in your life in the future or right now. Okay. Once you get that done, then I want you to pick between 5 and 10 goals that you would like to achieve, in the not too distant future. I would say within the next 12 months. Okay, pick 5 or 10 goals that you'd like to achieve in the next 12 months. And if you can't get to 5 or 10, pick what you can get to. Okay, but really limit it to like 10 just for the sake of this exercise. You might say, well, I have 100. Great, I'm glad you have 100. Let's just focus on 10 that are the most important that you want to achieve in the next 12 months. And you're going to write those down. Okay. Now, every morning, about half an hour after you get out of bed, you're going to write down the day that you're on. So you're going to do this for 40 days. So today would be day one, tomorrow day two, then day three, and so on. You'll write down day one on the top of the page, or whatever day it is. Then you're going to write, I'm thankful for. Now, the reason I'm saying I'm thankful for is because that's what Melody suggests in the book, and I'm coming from a place of being a good student. Typically, I would say I'm grateful for, but she says I'm thankful for, so that's what I'm saying. I'm thankful for, and then you're going to start off with anything that's negative in your life. Maybe you're angry at your spouse, right? I'm thankful for, I'm angry at my spouse because my spouse did this, and then you write it down. I'm thankful for the mail was late yesterday. I'm thankful for I've got a sinus infection. I'm thankful for whatever it might be, anything that's negative. I'm thankful for feeling depressed. I'm thankful for feeling envious. I'm thankful for feeling jealous. I'm thankful for not being able to pay my bills this month. Whatever it is that's negative, write it down. I'm thankful for. We're going to write all that down. You do not have to give any reasons why. You could, if it's important to it, then go ahead and put it down. If it's not, just focus on what the actual specific thing is, whether it's an emotion, a thought, a result, a circumstance, whatever it might be. I'm thankful for. And you're going to write that down. Then after you get done with the negative, if there's good stuff in your life, you're going to write that down also. I'm thankful for my friend sent me a bouquet of flowers. I'm thankful for the wonderful meal I had at the restaurant last night. I'm thankful for that I got a raise. I'm thankful for my business is growing well. Whatever it is that you're thankful for that's good, you want to write that down also. This should not take you more than 10 minutes. You're done. If you're doing it on your computer, create a little file on your desktop or something, put it in there. This is called your miracle movement for the next 40 days, and you're going to do it every single day. Don't miss a day. If you miss a day, say, I'm thankful that I missed a day, and then move on, and you'll do it for 41 days or however many days that you miss. The idea is that you work on trying to get this for 40 days in a row. Now, what you're also going to do is that you're going to pay attention to the miracles that you start creating in your life, because they're going to start happening. How fast will they happen? I don't know. What day will they happen on? I don't know. Will it be the exact miracle that you wrote down as part of the exercise? I don't know that either. But what I do know is that this works. I have created absolutely amazing miracles in my life. I think that once you do this, you'll probably do it forever, because what it really is doing is it's putting you in harmony with bringing the good into your life. So if you have something that's not good in your life, by being thankful for it, you are keeping connected to your source of supply, which is a good thing. The other thing is that it prevents you from doing things that are negative in your life. A lot of people, what they do is they suppress their emotions. They do things that are like self-numbing, okay, or self-medicating. Maybe they're experiencing something really bad in their life, and now that they started drinking, and they never really were a drinker before, but they're drinking, you know, 2 pints of vodka every day, or they started doing drugs. Or they started some kind of reckless behavior, or they're procrastinating, or they're depressed and they can't get out of bed, or they're picking on people and they're picking fights, or they're bullying, or whatever it is that it might be, okay? The idea is that what this does is it gives you a healthy expression for the way that you're feeling, and it it helps prevent you from falling into a negative expression for the way that you may be feeling. So here's some rules for this exercise. Number one, if you read the book, Melody's going to tell you in the book, if you can find a partner you can trust, then have a partner. My personal opinion on this is that you do this the first time without a partner. The reason is that you don't want to be writing things down where you have any worries in your mind about somebody else knowing what you're writing down. So let's say that you are self-medicating by drinking, and you're drinking a lot. You're drinking like a fifth of booze every single day, right? You don't want to put that down and then share it with somebody who is then going to be like, hey, don't you think you should stop this, or you should get into a 12-step program or something like that. The idea is that we don't get into judgment and we don't get into worrying about what other people think. We start to get to know us. We start to become comfortable expressing what is that's going on with us. And then that leads to the miracles. She talks about some of the miracles that were created by people who were doing just those things in their life, like self-medicating, and then they got themselves some help. But she never intervened and said, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, or I'm worried about you, or anything like that. Because this is about you having your own experience. You're intentionally improving yourself, okay, and allowing yourself to have your own experience. So this is your miracle movement. It's 40 days to creating any miracle you want in your life. And you want to make a commitment to yourself that you're going to do this, and you're actually going to watch what happens. Now, if you feel so called to share that with us on the podcast, we would love to hear from you. We would absolutely love to hear about the miracles that were created from this. We're really excited to hear about the miracles that were created from this for all of you folks. And again, I want you to come from this place of it's intentional improvement. I am improving myself intentionally. I am going to be thankful for every single thing in my life, and I'm going to allow miracles to be the way that I live from this day forward. God bless all of you. Thank you so much for listening. This is David Nagel, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Successful Mind Podcast. Thanks so much for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in today's episode. And while you're there, leave us a review. I read every one. You can connect with me on Instagram and Facebook as well, and those links can be found in the show notes. And check out my free gift for being an avid listener at davidnagel.com/start here. See you next week.